The ongoing investigation into Russian interference during the 2016 election and whether the Trump team colluded with the Russians has often put the president at odds with intelligence agencies. In just the last few days alone, he's accused the FBI of planting an informant within his 2016 campaign and asked the Justice Department to investigate. James Clapper was the director of national intelligence under President Obama, and he was there when the intelligence community first began looking into Russia, Trump, and the election. He's got a new book out detailing that time. It's called Facts and Fears: Hard Truths from a Life in Intelligence. When I spoke with him earlier today, I started by asking him whether there was evidence that the FBI surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes.
No, and I think the president is deliberately trying to change the narrative here. What this was about and the focus was on the Russians and their potential attempts to infiltrate his political campaign, that is Mr. Trump's. And I think the FBI would do the same for any other campaign where the Russians were attempting to infiltrate and gain leverage and gain influence, which was what they're about.
Is there a difference, though, between kind of surveillance and an investigation?
It's somewhat semantics. I think the point is, what is the objective? If the objective was, in fact, to surveil or observe the campaign to determine its political strategy or what it was doing to try to compete with the other campaign, that would not be good. But the point here was to understand what the Russians were doing to try to infiltrate and gain leverage, access, influence, whatever they were trying to do. And that, there's a huge difference there.
Thinking about what's gone on in the last 48 hours, you now have a president who's essentially asked, you know, the FBI, the Justice Department, to investigate this issue, right? An investigation into their own investigation while it's still going on. What's happening here?
For me, it's not good. This is yet another assault on one of our institutions. And when the president kind of violates a norm in this country that's been practiced and followed for decades, reaches out and starts directing the Department of Justice and in turn the FBI what to do, that is not a good thing for this country.
Are you surprised to be here? You write in the book about actually having briefed this president, right, on the idea of Russian meddling in the election. So you've had this conversation with him in one way or another.
Yes. Starting with, of course, on the January 6th of 2017, when I, along with my colleagues, went to brief President Trump on the results of our intelligence community assessment on Russian meddling in the election. And it was pretty clear, although it was a reasonably cordial, professional exchange, that President-elect Trump then just could not get his head around or accept anything that would cause doubt about the legitimacy of his election. And that reaction has sustained itself to this day.
I want to take a step back a moment and talk a little bit about this period of time, which you do write about in the book. You talk about being among the first in the intelligence community to say publicly that Russians were interfering in the 2016 presidential election. You said that during an event at a think tank.
Mm-hmm.
And do you wish you had said more, louder?
Yeah, I've had occasion to think a lot about that. And frankly, as I recount in the book, a good bit of controversy about the extent to which we talked about this publicly. Would we be serving the Russian cause by magnifying what they were doing? That was one concern. And the other concern, that which I think is quite understandable given the highly charged partisan environment of the campaign, that President Obama was reluctant to give the optic of putting his hand on the scale in favor of one candidate to the disfavor of the other. So those were kind of mitigating factors. When we finally did, after a lot of debate and agonizing, decide that we should say something before the election, Jay Johnson and the Secretary of Homeland Security and I jointly issued a statement on the 7th of October, 2016, which recounted fairly candidly and pointedly what the Russians were doing. Unfortunately, that came out the same day as the Access Hollywood tapes, so our public pronouncement sort of got lost.
Here's the thing. Whenever the intelligence community the government wants us to know that something is happening and is concerned and has intelligence that they want out there, they manage to get it to us. I mean, I think about the run-up to war in Iraq, right, and talking about weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
Everyone knew about that by the time, you know, that tour of information was done. did you guys actually think this was a moment of crisis?
I've seen a lot of bad stuff in 50-plus years in intelligence, but never something that disturbed me as much as when I fully understood the magnitude of what the Russians were trying to do. And we did tell the policymakers what was going on. Whether or not it was up to the intelligence community on its own to take action, to go public, I'm not sure about that.
I also ask because then it seems somewhat mystifying to understand the response from the executive and legislative branch, right? Of President Obama saying he doesn't want to look like he's putting a finger on the scale for Clinton. You have House Speaker Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell refusing to sign on to a bipartisan announcement about Russian meddling based on the briefing that you've given them. Did politics just trump the intelligence here?
Well, I guess I'd have to say, yes, it did. I think the mere fact the intelligence community was investigating what the Russians were doing or trying to understand what the Russians were doing, that was considered itself political. And on more than one occasion, representatives of the intelligence community were warned by or enjoined by members of Congress not to be used as tools of the administration to advance this narrative that the Russians were interfering and that they favored one candidate over the other. So a very tough position for the intelligence community to be in.
Right now, we learn more and more about the Russia investigation, in part because congressional intelligence committees, for example, are releasing documents here and there and batting that about in the press. How much more about this do you know that you can't talk about? Are the American people still missing giant chunks of this story?
I think the giant chunk of the story, and I don't know the answer to this, is, well, was there collusion by some part of the Trump campaign with the Russians? And we certainly didn't turn up any smoking gun evidence of that before we left. But I will say this, and I recount this in the book, about the striking parallelism between what the Trump campaign was doing and saying and what the Russians were doing and saying, and particularly on the subject of Hillary Clinton and her health as one specific example. But I do not have smoking gun empirical evidence of direct collusion. And of course, that's obviously a big question that hopefully a special counsel Mueller will resolve one way or the other, because I think in the end, the American public deserves an answer to that issue, that question.
Well, James Clapper, thank you so much for speaking with All Things Considered.
Thanks very much for having me.
James Clapper, his new book is called Facts and Fears. Tomorrow, part two of our conversation, where the intelligence community goes from here.